Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. My first day back in the studio. Spent a couple days on vacation down in Hunting Island, down there in the coast of South Carolina. Just a beautiful little spot, just about 4 hours here from Greenville, South Carolina, where we're broadcasting from. And just had an opportunity to ride down there with a couple of the folks in our family and spend a wonderful time together down there. It was a beautiful day yesterday when we were down there. And just outside of Buford, South Carolina, you know, Buford's got a nice little river walk and so forth, and nice little restaurants and those types of things. And then the beach there on Hunting Island is just spectacular, really nice beach. So had a great time there. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast that we put out yesterday. We taped one last week. Another one with Joshua Moravchik was my guest on the, which aired yesterday, talking about what was taking place in the Israeli situation, of course, there in Gaza, with the rockets being tossed on the Israelis on a regular basis, and then Israeli response as well. So he was on yesterday. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with him. Got a chance to ask him some questions about what are people talking about when they make a difference, try to draw a distinction between Zionism versus other Jews. You know, who are they talking about, and is that a legitimate question? So if you didn't get a chance to hear that, you can listen to the archive of it. Also, Lisa Peek, we aired that broadcast with her. She's a Fox News commentator. Mostly in financial issues. Got a chance to speak with her a little bit about the issues surrounding the border crisis and what was taking place there. And again, that audio is available online as well out at www.knowingthetruth.org, or you can go out to our sermon audio page at sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. Up today, we've got a couple of important topics to talk about. First up is going to be Daniel James Devine from World Magazine, and I want to talk with him about an article that he's recently wrote about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of course, the Supreme Court Justice, and some of the comments that she has made concerning gay marriage and whether or not this is going to come up before the court in the next short foreseeable future here. So what she has to say about that issue. And then on the second half of the program today, I'll be joined by former Congressman Todd Akin will be with me. He's got a brand new book out, and in the book, you know, he's firing back. He's going after the GOP bosses, as he calls them, saying that basically they had thrown him under the bus because of a couple of unguarded statements that he made. So he'll join us to talk about those issues on the second half of the broadcast today. First up, Daniel James Devine. Daniel, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks.
Daniel, this interesting story that you wrote here. Tell our listening audience a little bit about just a summation of what this story is about.
Yeah, well, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is the oldest liberal member of the U.S. Supreme Court, was giving a smattering of interviews last week. And she talked in one of them to the Associated Press and said that her prediction is that the Supreme Court will rule on the issue of gay marriage within the next 2 years, so either by next summer or by the summer of 2016. So, of course, we've had in the news for the past many months and past few years, actually, of state courts and federal judges who are overturning same-sex marriage bans across different states. And so it seems like the time is really ripe for the Supreme Court to take up this issue and decide on it. And I think what's going to happen is they'll either say that, you know, it's an issue to leave up to the states to decide, or they'll say that a gay marriage ban is unconstitutional and that homosexuals have a constitutional right to marry. Mm-hmm. And in that case, that would mean that no matter what state laws, what state bans are in place, same-sex marriage would be legal across the country.
Ginsburg is in the news, Justice Ginsburg, because of, you mentioned her age when you first started with your comments. There's been some speculation about whether or not she would retire, especially while there's still a Democratic president in the White House, a liberal president, and so therefore, you know, the idea there, of course, is that he would replace her with a liberal justice. And what did she have to say about those types of issues as well?
Yeah, Ginsburg is 81 years old, and so, yeah, like you said, there are even some liberals who are calling on her to resign. There was one in particular, the dean of a law school in California, who wrote a column earlier this year saying that Ginsburg should resign this summer so that Obama has a chance to nominate someone to replace her. And also, while the Senate is still controlled by Democrats, there is a chance that the Senate power could shift to Republicans after the midterm elections in November. So that's still up in the air. But Ginsburg says that she's in great shape and has no intention of stepping down right now, and also said that she didn't think that there was somebody else who could be nominated who would be that liberals would rather see on the court than her, who could get through the Senate. So in other words, I guess that she doesn't think that somebody as liberal or more liberal than herself could actually make it through a Senate nomination process right now.
Mm-hmm. Is it a little bit unusual for a sitting Supreme Court justice to be out, you know, doing these types of interviews and making these types of statements that she's making in these interviews?
You know, I don't see it too often. What is interesting about it is that you don't typically see the justices talking to one another in public all that much, or really, you know, sort of tipping their hand to reveal what their views might be on particular laws. But they actually do. The justices do conference with one another privately and talk about cases that are upcoming and how they would rule. And so what's interesting about Ginsburg saying that she thinks that the court will rule within the next 2 years is that, you know, she does know the views and opinions of other people on the Supreme Court. So for her to say that, you know, I do think that we're going to take up one of these cases soon, she's probably right.
Yeah, because she doesn't actually have the ability, without being the chief Supreme Court justice, to set the agenda, I don't think, as to what they will consider. But I guess kind of inside baseball, behind the scenes of the Supreme Court, she would know, of course, you know, what's on their mind and what they would be taking up. But one of the reasons why I mentioned the idea of whether or not this was unusual to have her speaking this way is she seems to be speaking in a pretty partisan way. And I think many people would still be maybe under the misguided illusion that the Supreme Court is supposed to be above the politics. They're just supposed to be looking at the legal relevance of an argument. And the way that she terms things in these interviews, man, it just sounds extremely partisan and certainly doesn't give me a great sense of confidence that we're just looking at the law itself and whether or not something is constitutional. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, it does seem that if the gay marriage issue was to come before the court, that I think that Ginsburg would favor nationwide legalization. And the reason I say that, last year in June, when the Supreme Court struck down part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. That was the federal law that had recognized marriage as being between a man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
She joined that decision. So she was in favor of striking that down.
Mm.
And she has a very liberal voting record. It's certainly no secret. She was part of the majority that struck down partial birth abortion bans in across the states in 2000, and then later on in 2007, when the Supreme Court upheld the federal Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, Ginsburg wrote the dissent to that.
Hmm.
So she has a very pro-choice or pro-abortion, as we call it, world voting record.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like if the gay marriage case came to the Supreme Court within the next 2 years, that she would favor legalization.
Mm. And it's interesting that she was actually appointed by Bill Clinton. And is that correct?
Yeah, Bill Clinton in 1993.
And so she was appointed by Bill Clinton, and then she then struck down, right, his Defense of Marriage Act, which, you know, he was for, right?
Right, exactly. Well, of course, everybody's flip-flopped on that,
mm-hmm.
or at least all the liberals have flip-flopped on that in the past few years, including President Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, infamously, right, he was saying that he was definitely for it, and then all of a sudden, you know, that he's had this remarkable epiphany and, you know, is going to completely switch gears on it. It just, that's, again, you know, the confidence that the American people would like to have in the Supreme Court is that it doesn't go with the wind of public opinion or, you know, to override. When I think about the law, and especially about constitutional law, you know, people are talking about precedent and these types of things, and looking at the, you know, what was the intent and, you know, what has stood the test of time and so forth. And so when you look at something like marriage and you see the overwhelming precedent that from, you know, the beginning of time, and then not just from there, but obviously from the beginning of the United States all the way onward, it's always been looked at in a certain light, and there's never been any credible view of marriage in the country other than that marriage is between one man and one woman. And then suddenly, just within the last 10 years or so, which is a nanosecond of time, historically speaking, suddenly, you know, they feel that this is something that needs to be overturned. And it really just destroys your confidence that these people are weighing these things, taking into consideration more weightier points than just public opinion or their own political leanings on a subject, rather than founding their decisions upon something that should have much greater weight. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think, too, in the interview, one of the things that Ginsburg mentioned as well is that attitudes toward same-sex marriage have shifted very rapidly in the U.S. in the last few years, which is true, but it does kind of disturbingly suggest to me that, you know, is she basing her decision about this based on the shifting attitudes of the American public? It doesn't seem to me like what a judge should base, you know, a weighty decision like that on.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that she mentioned, too, is she kind of compares the situation to the civil rights battles of the 1960s, mm. like interracial marriage.
Mm.
And that kind of tips you off to the viewpoint she's coming from as well, because that's a classic liberal argument in favor of same-sex marriage, is to compare homosexuality with a racial issue,
mm.
which is a very, very unfair comparison, because in the one case, when we're talking about you know, interracial marriage, something racial, I mean, that has to do with the way a person is born, something that they can't change about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as Christians, and I think as a lot of conservatives would agree with this too, is that we don't view homosexuality as something that's unchangeable. And there are certainly lots of ex-gays out there, people who have come out of that lifestyle, who would agree with that and say, this is not something that you're born with and that's innate, but it's something that can be changed.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard some black conservatives use a phrase that where they say, don't confuse your sin with my skin. In other words, they were saying pretty much what you just articulated, that that this is sinful behavior, and it has, again, talking about precedent, it has been viewed as being sinful behavior for, you know, obviously scripturally, since the Word of God was given to us and since man was put upon the face of the earth, created by Almighty God. From that very beginning, any sort of sexual relationships outside of marriage was viewed as a perversion. It was viewed as sin against God. It wasn't that long ago. In fact, in some places, they may actually still be on the books, but we had sodomy laws that were on the books that, and we referred to, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and sodomy, you know, the idea of the homosexuality and so forth. These were on the books. And so, again, to toss that all to the wind and that those considerations make no difference whatsoever and that, you know, public opinion has changed on these things. Well, public opinion is fickle, you know. I mean, it's hardly something. It's like planting your feet in midair. It's not a very solid substance to base your arguments on. And to find people like this basing their arguments on it, it really just destroys our confidence in the system. And I hope that they should see that, because that really transcends, you know, conservative versus liberal. That really transcends the idea of, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat or anything like that. They should be concerned about the purity of the institution itself, of the Supreme Court, and that people have confidence that you're actually weighing things based upon the Constitution and law and these types of things rather than on public opinion. So it's pretty disturbing, really, to hear these types of comments come from her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you think, too, that, you know, if laws about, you know, same-sex marriage can change so easily on public whim and public opinion, you know, what's down the road in the future, then, you know, could be polygamy next, could be who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to redefine marriage like that, it can mean anything that really the majority wants it to mean.
Exactly. And you used the right phrase to be using in this discussion. It's all about the redefinition of marriage. That's where the point is. Those that are identify themselves as same-sex couples and being homosexual, gay, lesbian, whatever all of the acronyms that are now used to identify that way, there's no law against loving any person you want to love. You know, they say, well, you know, you're making loving, outlawing loving a person that I want. No, there isn't. There is no law against that. There's nobody telling you and coercing you and forcing you to either love or not love any other individual. There's nothing like that. You're free to do that. In fact, the case could probably be made now that you can't say anything against that. You know, you can't hold an opinion against. There is laws that seem to be in coercion that's taking place against anybody speaking against that. But the real issue is, do you have the right then to redefine the relationship of other people? That's what the issue is. Do you have the right to redefine marriage itself? It's always been defined this way. And do you now have the right to say that we're going to change that definition and make it something else? And as you pointed out, you know, when you change that definition and you give it, you basically evacuate it of any meaning whatsoever. Who's to say now that a marriage can't be, and I don't mean to be so facetious about this, but who's to say that a marriage now can't be a man and a horse or a man and three women? Or, you know, you completely remove the definition of it. And we're actually seeing this. We warned against this, and we're actually seeing this now where people are coming forward and saying, you know, hey, I want to marry this animal or this person or these people, these groups of people. And who's to say now that that's right or wrong because you've removed the definition? So it really does open up a Pandora's box here, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you're a pastor. I'm curious about your opinion on this. Do you think it's a lot of it has to do with the homosexual community wanting affirmation, for the lifestyle that they've followed, and not wanting any hint of judgment on that, and as long as they don't feel like they have equal rights, equal legal privileges with other people, they don't feel like they're affirmed. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I really do. I think that we see in the new tolerance that is put out, tolerance before was basically live and let live, people would put it in colloquial ways, different strokes for different folks and so forth, and just let them, I don't agree with it, but if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. That was the old tolerance. That you would just realize that people had differences of opinions and allow them to live. The new tolerance is that you cannot express that you don't agree with it now. And if you do express any sort of disagreement with it, you are now bigoted and a hater, and you will be forced into conformity. We're seeing this now in the sports world, of course. Nobody can Tony Dungy. I mean, if Tony Dungy, who is, one of the most gracious and mild-mannered individuals you'd ever want to meet, if Tony Dungy is now viewed as being a hateful, just a warmonger or something, because of his very, very slight comments of that he wouldn't have had that particular Michael Sams there on his he wouldn't have drafted him because of the disruption that it would have brought to his team. If that now is off limits, we can see that this has gone much broader than just you disagree with the actual point here. I think it's much more of what you said, that there has to be total acceptance and embracing of this view. Otherwise, you will be viewed as being a bigot. And, of course, for believers who adhere to the Word of God as being our standard, we will never embrace or promote that as being a legitimate option, because the Scriptures are very clear that this is a sin against Almighty God, and it is a sin against nature, the way that God has created man. And so we can never capitulate on that issue, although there are evangelical churches that are doing so. I think that is a you fail to be true to the Word of God if you make that position. You're just denying the Word of God and what it says, and of course that's a sign of no longer being a true church if you don't hold to the Word of God. So I think that's where I would come down on that position. By the way, the Heritage Foundation and others as well, in addition to what we've said scripturally, what the Scripture and the Bible has to say about this issue, they have really done a lot of research about whether or not this is good for society, which, of course, is where the leadership in the country should come down. They may not be believers themselves at all, but nevertheless, they have an interest in society and the good of society. And it's just been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the relationship of a man and a woman, a father and a mother in the family, then having children, and that nuclear family, as it's been referred to, is a key to societal strength and stability, prosperity in our society. And once that thing is destroyed, it brings about dramatic negative consequences upon the society as a whole. Daniel, let me give you the last word here on summing up your article that you wrote. We're down to just about a minute left in the interview, but let me give you the opportunity there to just solidify some of the thoughts that we've spoken about already.
Yeah, I guess, you know, one thing Christians can do is just pray for any case that may go before the Supreme Court within the next year or two. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Supreme Court starts looking at potential cases they'll take up toward the end of fall or maybe around the beginning of the new year. And so that's when they'd be deciding whether to take up one of these same-sex marriage ban cases. Mm-hmm. And just be in prayer that God's will would be done through the court when they make this decision, because it will have some pretty major implications for the states and for the country and, of course, for us as the church.
Amen. And I would add to that, too, obviously, to be praying, praying about the Supreme Court itself. And God can change hearts, of course, and does change hearts on a regular basis. And ultimately, you know, if they're saying this is where public opinion is, we need a revival in this country. We need a reformation in our churches and so forth. So certainly be praying for those things. But I would also add to be educated about these issues so that we can speak about them in a winsome way, in an intelligent way, and we can make our case as to why and make our case in the public square as to why this is bad. It's bad for the country. It's bad for our society. Why do we see these things in this way? And so I think that that would certainly go a long way if we could do that. And one place that we could do that, I would say, is at World Magazine. You guys do an excellent job of bringing these stories to the forefront, and you write about them in a very intelligent and fair way. And so I would encourage people to get a copy of World Magazine, read articles like Daniel's here that are out there right now, and this will go a long way to helping to educate you on these issues. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about this issue. We really appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
That was Daniel James Devine. You can read his article out there at worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. And his article is entitled Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Court Will Rule on Gay Marriage by 2016. Well, we're being told that this is going to happen. We're being warned that this is going to be taken up. Now's the time. Let's make sure that we understand the issues that are there so that we can speak about it in this way. Let's get on our knees and pray that God would do a great and a glorious work for our good and for His glory. That's what we're looking for as we examine these issues. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.